This is the ERP Advisor. Today's episode, Evaluating Infor in 2021 and Beyond.
Sean Wendell is one of our speakers for today. Sean is the founder and managing principal of ERP Advisors Group based in Denver, Colorado. Sean has over 20 years of experience in the enterprise software industry. Carly Schuby is our guest today. Carly is a consultant at ERP Advisors Group and has brought her background and experience in accounting and customer service to our team. On today's call, we will evaluate Infor's offerings for product-based companies with a specific look at Cloud Suite Industrial. Welcome, Sean and Carly.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
So today we're discussing Infor and its services more in depth than we did in our legacy software review series earlier in the summer. So Sean, with that said, I want to ask you as a word of introduction, can you provide your perspective on how Infor is currently positioned as an ERP provider right now?
I can. I'm kind of looking a little broadly too, and with some real-time information. I think, Carly, you'll probably talk about some of the selections that we've engaged Infor in, which will be great. But also just in terms of conferences we've been to, other ERP deals, and sort of looking really, really broadly, like trying to think even sort of globally. But if we look at sort of the North American market specifically, Infor really is a contender. I think they've always been. But unlike some of the other vendors, you know, they really made a major investment 5+ years ago to go cloud, and they did it early. And, you know, it wasn't easy because they acquired a lot of apps and went through a lot of acquisitions, which is really hard to do. So you got a lot of different products, a lot of different executives, you know, trying to, you know, figure out which product is going to win. I think Microsoft went through that. I personally went through that with Oracle in the early 2000s. Many vendors have been through that. But Infor sort of took a stance that was a little bit different, right? They said, let's rewrite some of the layers of these applications and leverage the existing sort of business logic and some of the more behind the scenes part for some of their really core apps. And they've done a good job with that. And they've, you know, they also put a ton of money, like a ton. We're talking billions of dollars into their products. And we're in a little bit of an interesting financial situation because of that. And they got through it, right? They were able to find an investor who I think maybe was one of their biggest licensees.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite, it's very interesting. But now they've got good products that are positioned well for sort of mid-sized businesses. They've got some enterprise software too. We were just chatting about that this morning. And, yeah, it's, they're very, very formidable, great competitors. They've got a good channel strategy. I think it's changing a little bit with some real-time data you've gotten. But we love the products, and we like how they're positioned, especially with our clients, sort of mid-sized clients. They make a lot of sense. And also the pricing too on their cloud-based offerings sort of bring down the point of entry for pricing. Now there's a little longer kind of total cost of ownership over time, but a vendor can get into it and it can do pretty well.
So entry level for a company just to get in and then they can grow from there,
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's even as we're sort of sitting here thinking, I'm thinking through all this and I will say one thing for sure. And I'm really talking to the camera right now, but I'm not looking at it, which is for anybody that is hearing what we're talking about, as usual, my normal disclaimer is if we say something wrong, tell us and we will get it corrected for sure. We've had some vendors in the past. We had a blog entry that we put out where we forgot a really key vendor for a certain area. They got back in touch with us. We met with like five people to understand what was happening at that specific industry or for that specific industry segment at that company. And now they're in all of our selection.
Perfect.
So please let us know if there's something that's not quite right.
Yeah. We appreciate that.
Because we're trying to be super serious about this, even though we really want to have fun, but we want to get it right. We want to have the right information.
Absolutely.
So that's a good sort of an overview for Infor.
Okay. Perfect. So Carly, let me ask you, with the work you're doing recently, what are you seeing with different implementation partners for Infor?
Okay. Yeah. So,
I guess to talk about the partners, I'd also have to talk about the industries that we're looking at. So Infor is bread and butter. It's not their sole focus, but their bread and butter is the manufacturing and distribution verticals. And so their partners, what we're finding is that their partners have a lot of experience in these industries, right? And then they'll build out some kind of very specific XYZ things, such as shipping labels and printing labels and all of the complexity that comes along with all of that. And, you know, the whole new world of trying to Amazon and keeping up with them and all this and that and this and that. So you have, you know, partners that are really developing specific kind of needs around that or along the manufacturing line, things like that, of those natures that they're really working on. And so what I'm seeing from our partners is that they are coming to the table with very specific and long experience in these industries, in these markets, as well as the hunger and drive, and giving their competitors a real run for their money to present themselves and put forth a really good, solid offering.
That's really good to hear because not everyone can say that, right?
It is.
For the work we do.
Just to dovetail on what you said, things are changing in the industry for ERP, for sure. We're seeing it firsthand. We're talking to some of our vendors that we've done a lot of work with and like, hey, are you guys going to show up for these deals or not? Maybe not quite as hungry. But what's interesting about Infor, especially with sort of a partner approach, which I think they do that up to a certain revenue size, whatever it is. But when the partners are involved, these folks have tons of industry experience, which, like Carly, you're saying, when we're working with our clients, we're like, we just want the best people to represent not just the app, but also the functionality and the industry best practices. Like we have a client that you're working with right now that went through a whole lean manufacturing exercise. Five to 7 years ago, right? That's the only thing most of the people there know. They don't even know it's lean. So to find a partner, right, that really knows lean manufacturing and their application and knows how to implement lean within the app is like, wow, this is great.
That's
so
huge.
Great Infor partner that does that. So I totally agree. Like I love when a partner, even a direct sales team, that's fine, but when they really care. And I think we've seen that, haven't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, just to make sure we're CYA, I think they do also have direct for Infor. But the question was specifically related to our partners. But so, you know, really that's what we're observing today is that the partners specifically are really coming to the table with these really solid, in-depth information, the unique offerings, things like that.
The so, extensions for
the extensions that are very, like they own it, but it's built all within the same platform, the Infor platform and architecture and stuff. So it's seamless.
Yeah. So the fact that they have the experience to back it up and not just offer it is huge, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So Sean, recently you mentioned in a press release that Infor has solidified their go forward products with strong options for certain verticals. Could you describe this in more detail for us?
I can. And, excuse me, I'm feeling a little bit sort of frisky today, so I'll sort of give you more color than I probably normally would.
Okay.
I can remember with my last company, so say 2005, looking at the Infor products and trying to decipher what was happening because there were a lot of products. I think it must have been 2004, 2005. I had a client that had implemented Daily Commerce, which was a standalone sort of a wholesale distribution package, had a big customer support kind of function to it. And at that time, it was relatively new to the organization I was with. And the partners said, hey, you're a software person. Go out and figure out what happened with this implementation. Because the client's saying that it didn't go well. I'm like, okay, sure, we'll figure it out, right? I don't know anything about it, but maybe I do because I was at JD Edwards PeopleSoft and have implemented this stuff. So I should be able to figure it out, right? Hopefully I can figure it out. One of those kind of situations. So I got on site and started to understand the business processes, the requirements and the people and the rest of it, the strategy, the technology, people, process, technology, strategy, right?
Yeah.
Carly? Huh?
Yeah.
Yes, our lenses that we view the businesses on. And it's like, whoa, like, you know, the app is okay, but the implementation didn't go very well. And even to the point where, unfortunately, they let go of the CFO who had was responsible for the implementation. So that was not good. I hate that. I do not like that. I would so much rather talk to somebody up front than on the back end.
Right.
And I really mean that. That's why we do these calls. If anybody has any questions, call us. We talked to a firm in Egypt 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're like, well, we're thinking this, this, and this. I'm like, no, don't do that. Here's what you need to focus on. They're like, oh, you know, we really knew that. So it was cool. So at least to get them going in the right direction.
Right.
Anyway, so going back to this daily commerce implementation. So I started doing a lot more research on Infor at that time. And there were a lot of products. A lot. Like I think, again, I'm willing to be corrected, like over 100 software products that Infor had acquired in that time frame, maybe a little bit later too. A ton of products. Like, whoa. What do you do with all those products, right? Which ones are going to win? You know, Microsoft acquired like two companies, right? Each of them had two products, probably more, but it was only four products that we had to work through, whereas Infor had a lot more. Excuse me. So we started to get into the Infor product portfolio and really tried to kind of decipher, you know, was this the right app for the client? It was, but the implementation wasn't that great. Oh. So then it was like, okay, well, who's supporting the implementations? And there were some firms that were out there. I think that one was through maybe a PS team, professional services team at Infor. But there weren't a lot of options for that particular product at that particular time for that particular Infor kind of a solution.
Right.
So, and you know, when a software vendor does terrible on my client, I'm never going to talk to him again. Like, I'm really that biased. And actually, I have to do a shout out to Epicor because we did have some problems in the late 2010s. And just recently, we're able to really understand how the strategy is different, the software is different, the leadership, everything is different there. So we're bringing them into our solution, our selections now, which is great. So it's not like I'm never going to come back.
Right.
But it's really got to be earned.
Right.
So at that point with Infor, I was just too confused and I didn't know what to tell my clients. And I'm not going to go out and become an Infor product expert. That's what the salespeople's job is. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do that much with them. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, we sort of kind of came back to the Infor solution. We had some clients that had heavy manufacturing requirements. And it's like, you look on paper, look at the website, you're like, wow, you got this Mongoose thing and all these other things that were really coming in. It was like, hey, this could be a really good solution. Had a good partner and had a lot of success with that product. And we've done several projects since then. We're doing more now. So I don't even remember what you asked. What'd you ask?
That Infor has solidified their go-forward products right now.
So even as recent as yesterday, we had the ERP liaison from Infor reach out and say, hey, you know, can I get you some data and stuff, which is great. Which is another new thing that they're doing, which helps us to be able to have a contact.
How can we help you?
Right. And I'm texting saying, okay, so I think it's Cloud Suite Distribution, Cloud Suite Industrial, Cloud Suite Enterprise. Yeah, Cloud Suite Industrial Enterprise. There's the CPQ tool. There's a HCM. There's a CRM. What else? And he's like, that's pretty good. So it is much more clear what the apps are that they go to market with, which is good for us. But also, there's more alignment even internally, I think, around those products. So you don't have a lot of, you know, fighting for resources and that kind of thing. It's like having like 100 children. Like, you know, I got two or three and it's like, wow, that's enough. When you have 100, everybody's like, you know, eating shoes and stuff. Wasn't there a school book like that where they
Nobody knows what they're doing, right? Because there's so many of them.
And that's kind of what the products were like. Now it's not that way. We know who sort of the go-forward products are. There's definitely a layer of marketing that sort of goes over those names, much like Microsoft has done. So, you know, you want to scratch down a little bit below the surface to see which product makes sense. Some of their products are geared towards larger enterprises. Their implementations are bigger, but they're more scalable. There's more volume transactions, more functionality, more yada, yada, yada. So it makes sense. And if you're a, you know, mid-sized organization, don't do that. Like that's going to, you know, choke you up. So if you get the wrong partner who just sells those products and they don't sell the other products, well, just ask the questions about where is this product normally sort of targeted in the size of enterprises. You know, is it enterprise? Is it corporate, small, medium-sized business or whatever? And it's very clear what the answer will be. Mm-hmm. So it's been a big change. I mean, honestly, again, feeling a little feisty, I used to think that Infor was sort of like the place where apps went to die. I'm just going to say it. Hmm. That's not the case. It's definitely not the case. They're putting money into the you know, Sightline as a product. I can't remember what distribution was based off of. Do you remember?
SXE?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So like, I think maybe again, willing to be corrected, but like the Daily Commerce product was gone maybe, but there's enough history there where you can see Lawson is the basis for one, which has been around for a long time. A lot of companies still running that. I believe that is called M3 now, but that's changing also. So anyway, just be aware of what products you're looking at, where they're positioned, and definitely that will drive the total cost of ownership for sure. Right.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that they learned from experience, right? Or mistakes, right? Because sometimes you learn your best or do your best learning from mistakes or from feedback that they needed to dedicate very experienced people to very specific verticals, markets, what have you, to be able to help with the apps?
That is a great question. I think that's off script too. That was well done.
Seriously. I'm learning.
Yes. No, but you know, that is the key to the whole thing because they did, I don't even know who they were, if it was the board or whatever, PE, private equity, KKR at one point. Hmm. There's some different players that have been in and out at the ownership level, but they did hire a very seasoned Oracle team.
Oh, and interesting.
I can only imagine what the Infor partners thought about that, right? Because most of these Infor partners have been partners for like, you know, as long as some of us have been alive. Mm. We're not going to say who at this table.
Right.
But
it might be me.
Might be you. That's right. That's right. And they've been doing this forever. And they're like, who are these guys coming in here, right? I mean, that's my impression of what happened.
Right.
But that team, Chuck Phillips, led that. He was a senior executive at Oracle. He came in, brought another sort of, you know, layer with him. I think they moved to New York City at that time. And they made a lot of strategic investments. They spent a boatload of money to basically do this rewrite, I think in preparation for the cloud, as well as getting the UIs, the user experiences really cleaned up so they look good. And I mean, I think that investment was very risky. I think it was, even at that time, I can remember looking at it like, are you guys going to make it through this? Mm-hmm. Like, are you really viable? Honestly.
Right.
But man, that was the right play. And I think that they're going to be in dividends from that for probably the next 10 years through this whole cloud evolution till we get to, you know, whatever comes after that. That would be an interesting topic to talk about. What's post-cloud, right? Because it's all about cloud and ERP, but what's after that? So long story short, you're spot on. That's exactly what happened. These people they were visionaries. And I didn't agree with them.
Right.
But I mean, we're like a flea on the back of a very big dog.
So
we can like scratch a little bit, but but it was
our fingers just in it enough, right? To know, right? Well, it's almost, you know, I think of, what is it, Noah, right? That everyone thought he was crazy, you know? But you said it, they're visionaries and here they are today.
Right.
And they maybe blaze the trail a little bit.
Yeah. One more thing I would say, I don't want to hog the whole conversation, but what I really love the most about software vendors, I was just thinking about this morning, is the fact that they made that investment sort of probably went against the grain to say, I don't care. Like, I know this is what's right. And they did it, that executive team. And I'm sure there was a lot of other folks that people on the call are like, oh, that was me. Mm-hmm. That's great, right? But the cool thing about it is now you have a software vendor that is really strong. And then you see this ecosystem that's just really, really solid around them. Like, I'll never forget when I was, I think, implementing PeopleSoft, like in the late 90s or whatever it was. And you just look at all these people that surround the apps. I mean, there's us, right? But there's implementers, there's everything from partners, software partners, whatever it is out there, that are all like creating their entire living from four or five people that made these decisions. And I really see that with Infor, that the channel is very, very healthy. There's great people that are selling there that have good experience. Some new people, but a lot of people have a lot of good of experience, and they've got good regional vice presidents that run the partners. And so it's a really good, healthy scene. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I love most about what we do.
That's good to hear.
Good. Now the rest is to Carly.
Right. So Carly, kind of speaking from the trenches, maybe, based on your experience as an ERP consultant, what can you tell us about some of Infor's products and functionality as a cloud ERP solution?
Yeah. I mean, so like I said, their bread and butter is in the manufacturing and distribution space. So they have a really kind of robust offering around that. Mm. And so they're able to handle kind of all of the things that need that, right? But what I think the most surprising thing for me, at least, kind of having coming from the accounting background and such, is they have this Burst product, and it is kind of their analytic tool, right? So you can do some FP&A, you can do a little bit of BI, a little bit of, you know, things, just general analytics, kind of pulling up dashboards. And I found it, I got a little nerdy on it, and I was like, yes, this is so cool. It has all of these graphics, and I like colors and things in color and beautiful color schemes and stuff, you know, but the functionality beyond the aesthetics of it, the functionality I found really surprising in a very manufacturing and distribution centric application. You know, usually you have to get some kind of bolt on for that functionality. So I found that very, very surprising. They do have, of course, financials. Every, you know, if an ERP can't do financials, it's not really an ERP, right?
Right.
That was like what I felt was probably the most surprising about their functionality. And then, of course, having a very kind of also a robust network of partners that are I can't think of another analogy, but the sharks swim in the circle, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's around that ecosystem and having kind of really nice bolt-ons and stuff. So it not only do you get kind of a really solid base application, you get this Burst product that comes with both CSD, which is Cloud Suite Distribution, and CSI Sightlines, Cloud Suite Industrial Sightline. So it comes with that. You can get it with that. But then they also have, of course, the remaining ecosystem. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Sean, maybe continuing on with that a little bit, we've been seeing an uptick in activity in the manufacturing sector. So maybe continuing on with the different ecosystems, so to speak. Can you discuss a little bit about Cloud Suite Industrial?
Sure. Yep. Yeah. And that uptick in manufacturing is super interesting because we have distributors that are doing more manufacturing. We have more manufacturers that are doing more distribution. Mm-hmm. We have e-tailers, right? They're brand companies that are now doing more testing and more value-added services. It might start as kitting, you know, maybe they take a couple items like an axe and put it together, but then they decide to do some engraving and then they add some more value add, and all of a sudden they're a manufacturer. So manufacturing is not just like, hey, we make tables.
Right.
Like that world is gone.
Right.
Right. Not only do we have contract manufacturers overseas, but just the value add and the capabilities that customers are driving product companies or other sort of similar organizations to is just crazy. It's just crazy what's going on. Wow. So now you have very market-driven businesses that do need automation. They do have to track their availability, their allocations of orders to customers and available to promise and all these really hard things that I can remember at J.D. Edwards in the late 90s, like, how do you really do ATP, available to promise, like, correctly? Like, do you have, like...
Without guessing,
or even, well, the last time it took us 2 weeks. So this time, no. Is there an algorithm? Is there an algebraic equation? Like, there's 7 or 8 or 20 variables that go into this, and we push a button, and there it is. Or does, you know, Julie down the way, she just knows it's going to be 3 weeks. Oh, okay, we'll put in 3 weeks, right? That's how one of our clients was that does duck decoys. Jessica was her name, right? She just knew, right? And that, so So now, though, again, with apps like Cloud Suite Industrial that are manufacturing centric, they're flexible. Like we have a client right now that basically, even though they're relatively smaller, has three separate lines of business. And they make machines, they do tests of medical equipment with those machines, but they sell those machines and make them for other people. And then they make another part of their business where they make sort of a artificial model based out of silicon of different body parts where surgeons use those to practice. We like surgeons practicing on silicone, not on people.
Right.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do. So anyway, so now, you know, Cloud Suite Industrial as an application can handle all three of those requirements, which is great. So we have another client that we're looking at CSI for that makes more sort of scientific measuring equipment. And that's the lean manufacturer I actually mentioned earlier. And again, the product is set up where they can handle, you know, sort of a call center part of that business where, yeah, they sell equipment, but they also do rentals of the equipment. And really what this client is like almost a trusted advisor to scientists all over that are looking for, you know, different kinds of problems with the geology or with the atmosphere, and they need these devices in a real-time basis. So it's really interesting to see how that product can be put in. With CSI and CRM, right? We have another client that is a knife manufacturer, and they're looking at sort of, again, Cloud Suite distribution, because it's more distribution than it's manufacturing, but it's still manufacturing, but it's distribution, one of those things. But they, there's a product, a CRM product that's a little bit smaller than Infor CRM, but the integrations are really strong. There's a lot of functionality. So their business is really converting more to a brand business. So, and we're also looking at e-commerce solutions for them. Whenever I say we in this whole conversation, it's really Carly.
Yes. Right.
So there you go. So just ask Carly the really hard questions, please.
Right.
But it's cool because all of these different business models are out there. And, you know, several years ago, it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be really expensive to implement. And now we have the partners that have done it. The software solutions are in place. And then the extensions is huge. Huge in the Cloud Suite world, where a partner says, oh, hey, I built an e-commerce site, or, oh, hey, I built a little credit card authorization or whatever. And then they can sell those through other partners. And so it's a, again, there's lots of products that make that, the functionality pretty easy to meet.
Right. Well, it sounds like the apps have had to evolve with these companies that are offering different services rather than requiring them to have three different software apps for the three different services they provide, right? So they've had to evolve.
Yeah.
Right.
And evolution, we can't not talk about Infor ERP apps without talking about cloud too. So maybe, I know we're getting close to the end here, but I definitely want to talk about that when the time is right.
Okay. Okay. So Carly, I'm going to ask you this. Can you offer an outlook for where you feel Infor could be headed in the future with their products, just from the recent experience that you've been having with them on projects?
Yeah, they're definitely going to keep going down these verticals and getting more and more and more in depth with them and their functionality. But I think they're going to keep taking more of the market share from their competitors as we go through, because like I said, they're coming to win, right? And then I think that they have the product now, but I suspect they just kind of normal process, like they might move into more of professional services or financials or kind of the non-manufacturing distribution companies. I mean, they'll definitely, I do see them staying there. They're great at it, but I could see them moving that direction as well. And if you're not, please do. And, but I, you know, cause like I said, I think they've built out that burst product. So it, to me, that's what it feels like, a natural progression to kind of continue to build that, section, that vertical out for themselves. And then, you know, we are talking these mid-market products most of the time right now, but they also, they do have these larger enterprise products. So, you know, they, big giant enterprise companies that they'll continue to keep working on those products as well and keeping moving forward on that, just because I don't see them going, oh, no, we just want to be I'm not saying you are, a QuickBooks or something, right, you know, right. they're kind of positioning themselves more across more verticals and sizes.
Right. Sean, can you add anything to that about what you're thinking?
Yeah, there's quite a few, Lawson and, there's another product that, Lawson's the basis for M3. So you had Bond and Lawson that were really competitors to SAP. Infor bought both of them, and I'm not exactly sure sort of what the track was to get to today, but both of those products are still positioned, and I believe it's Lawson that's focused more on services organizations. Bond is more bigger manufacturing. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean and other callers. But, you know, there's a big play there. Because most of those clients, right, are like our SAP clients that are looking to get to the cloud. And what is the solution for that, right? Cloud Suite as a kind of a label, they specifically chose the phrase Cloud Suite, right?
Right.
So that's good. But, you know, being able to take those customers out of on-prem solutions, put them in the cloud and keep them and get the recurring revenue, like it's a good play. Like I see there's going to be some really good things there, especially because there really still isn't like a go-to partner for cloud for the tier one ERPs.
Oh.
It just isn't. Hmm. So I think there's an interesting option or opportunity that that Infor has at that level. And I'm sure after this call, I'm going to have many texts that are going to be like, here's what we're doing. Here's what we're doing, which is great. We need to know that. Mm-hmm. But it's a really interesting opportunity. Mm-hmm. But like Carly said, in the mid-market, you know, we see they're there and it's happening, which is super exciting.
Right. Right. Well, I think we're coming to the end of our call.
Any one more. One more.
I was going to ask for parting words.
Good.
Yes.
Parting words is on the cloud. So, you know, I've been a little weary of many different incumbent or legacy software vendors on their cloud strategy, because it's like, you know, you wake up one day and, you know, our ERP news, we're covering a lot of news these days. You'll have to check those out. Ashley Glasgow, who does those, actually is well known. She literally gets stopped in the grocery store and people are like, do I know you from somewhere? And she's like, no, you don't.
Yes.
Just kidding. Not yet. But that's the goal. Right, Sean?
Yes.
Good. Anyway, you know, cloud means different things to different vendors.
Right.
Absolutely. Positively. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carly has sat in a lot of technical due diligence, deep dives on cloud. And I have seen that Infor is sort of working through it. And not just at the high level of Infor Inc., not just at PS at Infor, not even support Infor, but the partners, right? So some partners have been more inclined to embrace their cloud solutions than others. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very important thing to ask because, I mean, anymore, we had a big Cloud Suite industrial client, $750 million business that went on CSI. And I'm sure the people at Infor were like, what? Why did you sell them that instead of something bigger? Mm-hmm. The first thing I'd say is, I don't sell software. The second thing is the CEO was freaked out about having an SAP type project. So there was no way we were going to do a tier one. Mm-hmm. No way. And we did good. We did really good on that project. And I think we're going to do even better kind of going forward.
Yeah.
So anyway, the cloud, so that was on-prem, but we haven't had an on-prem client since then. And that was like 2 years ago. So you really want to just make sure to do your due diligence. It's not a problem with the Infor products that we've seen because we've done the due diligence and they've had good people that can answer our questions. But it's not pure cloud software as a service multi-tenant. That's not the way the apps are written. That's not it. Just like SAP, it's not written that way. NetSuite or Workday or Salesforce are. So what? Is that a big deal? Not really. It's okay. Like, it's okay now. Like, I feel very comfortable with that cloud strategy. And even a year ago, I didn't. But now there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of customers that are getting onto these platforms that are proven, that have gone through all the heartache and pain. So it's good. Like, it's a good thing. But please, to any prospects or anybody who's looking at software at Infor, just have the detailed conversation. Tell your sales rep, I want to know more. I want to know what your cloud strategy really is. They'll get on a call. They've got standard decks that can talk you through how they do the cloud. And I think it's on Amazon AWS, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. So which is good. But okay, well, who's still going to maintain my instance? Oh, well, that's Infor that does that. How do you do that? When are your releases? When are your maintenance windows? What are your SLAs? EIAO, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Go through those questions so that you know for sure. So I do feel comfortable. I really do. And man, I really hammered somebody a couple weeks ago on that, that we're there. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's my last.
Well, let me ask you this, and this might be a whole different call or maybe not even the appropriate question, but you mentioned that there's such a vast difference in cloud offerings. Like, what do you think, what is that about? Like, why is there such a differentiation and not just like, it's cloud and this is what it's supposed to be or what, you know, why do you think that is?
Right. That is a great, great question. That we will do it.
Okay. Call on. All right.
But
okay.
Let me just say a little teaser is it depends where the apps came from.
Oh.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all it is. Some apps started as ASP, right? That's how old I am. Do you know what ASP stands for? Didn't think so. Application Service Provider. So in the late 90s or the early 2000s, that was the model. We're an ASP. We have software. Wherever it wasn't called cloud, we're an application service provider and you can sort of subscribe to our service. That's what cloud used to be called. Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
Okay.
I make it sound like I'm like 190 years old, but maybe just 180. Carly likes it.
You just have a lot of experience.
That's right. All the gray hairs to prove it. But that's it. It's just some company started at that time, right? NetSuite. And they wrote their app so that multiple companies could be in the same instance of the code. Like, oh my God, what? I can't run my app with four other companies in it. Yeah, you can. And the security was built in and the architecture was there. And the idea was when you do an update to that code base, you're doing it for multiple clients. But like you can get like weird matrix concepts when I say what, like the matrix, when I say this, but if you think about server farms and there's one server that's virtualized, so there's five VMs and on that one VM, there's five instances of the code and each instance of the code runs 5 to 10 different customers. And you push a button and all of them just upgrade.
Oh, wow.
Like that. Now there's more to it than that, but that's the concept that some apps are written in, whereas other apps that are more legacy weren't written that way. They were written to be installed on the client side, one instance. So making the change to something else, even SAP strategy, I had a guy at SAP sort of describe what their public cloud sort of looks like. And it's like a ginormous instance of SAP that can run all these like an old version of SAP, but they have a front end in front of it called for HANA that people interact with, but they have a huge database, huge sort of a, you know, you can almost think about it. I mean, if you take the concept of a mainframe and multiply it times a billion, right? Like the power of that app. So it's just different. So fine, but what does that mean? That's where the customers, the prospects have to say, like, here's my use case and I need to know if it's supported or not.
Right.
Good.
Right. Okay.
We'll save the rest for later.
Okay. Good. We'll be sure to put it on the calendar for another call.
Good.
So, well, thank you for joining us, Carly. We appreciate you having us and thank you for sharing your knowledge and expertise as always. So. Thank you. And thank you everyone for joining us for today's webinar. Please let us know if you have any questions. We're happy to help in any way we can. Call us, email us, whatever works for you. Please join us for our next webinar scheduled for Wednesday, September 15th, Increasing Efficiency for Manufacturing ERP Software. We will examine how ERP solutions for inventory control, real-time reporting, and material requirement planning can help streamline manufacturing processes and increase productivity. Please go to our website, erpadvisorsgroup.com, for more details and to register.
ERP Advisors Group is one of the country's top independent enterprise software consulting firms, advising mid to large size businesses on selecting and implementing business applications, including ERP, CRM, HCM, business intelligence, and other enterprise applications, which equate to millions of dollars in software deals each year across many industries. This has been the ERP Advisor.